In July of 1997, I was living here in Philadelphia, and I had just actually booked a 2-week bike trip through Portugal to celebrate my 30th birthday. And in order to start preparing for the trip, I decided to go for a bike ride. And I'm a very recreational rider. I don't ride my bike fast, I don't ride my bike slow, I just ride for pleasure. So it was July, and it was 1997, and it was a beautiful night. And I went along this road, which is called West River Drive here in Philadelphia, and it's a fairly quiet road. Trucks are actually banned from the road, so it's really just cars and other pedestrians. And so I was riding my bike by myself. I was going about 20 kilometers per hour, and I heard this sound from behind, and I didn't know what it was. It was just the sound of sounded like a swarm of bees. So I turned to my left to look behind me to see what it was. And all I could see was this pack, this swarm of blue and yellow uniforms. And I didn't realize it at the time. We learned later on that it was a pack of 60, mostly men, who were bicycle racing. And I was just riding. I was, as I said before, I was just off on my own, just going for a little ride. And by the time that I turned back around, I had been hit. I had been hit from behind, and I was knocked unconscious, rushed to the hospital, and was in and out of consciousness. And eventually I had surgery, and I had surgery on my face, mainly on the right side of my face. And two plates were inserted into my right eye because something had happened and there was a fracture. And then I had surgery on my chest and on my right leg. So I was hurt pretty bad. And I didn't know who was there that night. I didn't know the guys who were involved. I didn't know anything about who they were. But apparently, while I was in the hospital, one of the guys came to visit me, but he wouldn't give his last name. There was a message left on my answering machine at my apartment in Philadelphia. I was getting anonymous get well cards by the time that I got out of the hospital. I didn't know who they were, but they knew who I was because, like a good cyclist, I was carrying ID. So they had my name, my telephone number, they had all of my details. We learned later on that there were 60 of them, and that they participate in a weekly training ride for amateur bicycle racers here in Philadelphia. And I didn't know about it. Apparently, it's been going on for about 40, 50 years, and they don't have a license to race. They don't have a permit to race. They just do it. And they were going, apparently, about 56 kilometers per hour. So they were going pretty fast, and I tried to get information. I didn't know who they were, like I said. All I could remember was what they were wearing, the blue and yellow, and the sound of the swarm. And it haunted me. The images haunted me. I would see these blue and yellow uniforms around the city and wonder if they were one of them. I would see them hanging out at the local Starbucks, and I would wonder, are you one of them? Were you one of the guys that hit me? Because no one would come forward and say who they really were. No one would take responsibility for what happened.
August 8th, 1997. Tonight, I took a look at my helmet first. I pulled it slowly out of the plastic patient's belongings bag and looked at it carefully, looking for clues to the accident, trying to figure out what happened. It's clear from the helmet, not just my face and breast, that I fell on the right side. The front of the helmet on the right is dented. It really happened. The accident really happened, as if I needed more proof.
the way that silence is most commonly defined is as an absence of sound, an absence of noise, and quite often it's also defined as a nothingness or a void.
Then there are the questions, unanswered. What happened? How did my shirt get ripped in those places? Where did the dirt come from? Or is it asphalt? I remember bits and pieces, but not all of it. Big pieces are missing. Looking at the shirt raises more questions, more fears. How the fuck did this happen, and who are the cowards that caused it? That's right, they're anonymous. They know what happened, and I'm stuck dealing with the aftermath. Do I hope they have nightmares? About me being injured, and my shirt being torn, and my helmet being dented? You bet I do. I hope they are scared shitless from the memories of that night and the secrets they're keeping. I hope it haunts them the rest of their lives as a souvenir of our time together, just like I have the titanium plates in my eye for the rest of my life as a souvenir of that night we were together.
It felt like they were all around me, but I didn't know for sure if they were part of that group that night. And the messages on the answering machine were, you know, we saw the accident and sorry to hear what happened. It was very horrible and tragic. And then a hang up. So there was no number to call back. There was no information. The get well cards were anonymous. Saw the accident. Hope you're feeling better. So there was a large a conspiracy of silence, a code of silence. I mean, these were guys who were racing together. They knew each other really well. They were team members. And then it was me who was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
August 3rd, 1997. Things to feel lucky about, number 22. For anonymous cards and phone calls from people who claim to care but don't have the guts to reveal themselves. You know what? Don't call me. Don't write to me. Don't wish me well if you're not going to tell me who you are. I was run down by a pack of anonymous bikers. That was terrifying enough. Don't compound that fear by contacting me anonymously. You're not comforting me, you're making me nervous. I don't trust as easily as I used to before the accident. How can I trust you? I don't even know your name or your face. What have you done to make me feel better? Was it to ease your conscience? Do you feel relieved that at least you reached out to me, albeit in a faceless, cowardly way?
When I was trying to get information, and all I got from these 60 people from that night was silence, to say that it was just silence seemed to really, it didn't really capture the way that I felt about what they were doing and how they were communicating with me. It wasn't strong enough to just say, well, you know, they're just nervous and they're scared. They're just keeping silent. To me, their silence wasn't a simple absence of sound. There was something else going on there. And the way that I understood silence, the way that we define it, the way that it's described in dictionaries and the way that we use it is really quite simplistic. It's an absence of sound. It's an absence of noise. And the silence that I felt from that night of the accident was much, much more than an absence of their voices. There was something almost tangible to what was happening. And for something to hurt as much as their silence hurt me, it was too simplistic to just see silence as an absence. So I wanted to get a handle on what was happening, what happened when I went to these guys and they weren't responsive, when they didn't take responsibility, when they refused to apologize, I wanted to make sense of that a bit more. And that's why I decided to look at silence as a research project.
January 4th, 1998. I used to love looking at it and writing it, but not anymore. It's now part of that memory of the accident. What I really want to do is throw it away. I have this picture in my head of me lifting my bike over my head and throwing it out my front window. The entire time I'm screaming my lungs out. Why am I feeling like this now? For so long, I've been okay with my bike. I even rode it a few times. Now, I hate it and everything it symbolizes to me. I know that my bike didn't do anything wrong. It didn't fail me. It didn't cause the accident. I know that. But it was there on July 8th. It knows what happened. It could answer some of my questions. However, it too is silent.